Welcome to Razzle Dazzle Radio. Oh yeah, we're going to give you some razzle dazzle today because I have three VIP people sitting with me. Of course, the infamous Mo Dutterer and Carolyn Kellerman. And right to my left is John Taylor, i.e. the Kinderman. Everybody Uh-oh. Knows John Taylor, and if they don't
Hello,
know him by
John.
Name,
Uh-oh.
It's Kinderman, friends, 1, 2, 3. All right, so I think Mo, see what you can dig up. You're good at digging up dirt, Mo. That's
Ooh,
what
I
I've heard about
you.
So dig up some dirt on John's early showbiz career.
Well, I have to give you a little background because when Judy introduced John, we gave him a standing ovation in the radio studio, and I don't think that has ever happened before anywhere in the world. So the Kinderman got the standing O. I love it. Real true royalty of early Columbia, middle Columbia, and now Columbia is John Taylor. I've been to many, many of his performances, shows. What would you call what you do, John?
What I do, I'm a dancer, and I'm a choreographer, and I'm a promoter. And I think I've recently, since I've turned in the 80s, understand about dance and about life, about who I am, why I am, and what is my job. What is what I'm here for? What is my gift that I kind of share?
Did you say 80s?
82. 1936, April 29th, which is 2 weeks from now.
I love it. Absolutely love it. And you don't look a day over 35.
Oh, you're just saying that. Say it again.
Well, you, when you say like...
Maybe 45.
Okay, 45. All right. So... how and when did you land in Columbia?
Okay, that I got in Columbia in 73. And I just come from Baltimore because I had been working in Baltimore in the urban service area. I was a school teacher at Severna Park High School.
Oh, really? Huh.
And I never wanted to be a teacher. I always wanted to be a dancer because I was told my mother got pregnant with me. And she was a performer herself. She worked at Asbury Park as a waitress. Hmm. And at the end of waiting, she would do a performance. She'd call acrobatic performance, put a leg behind her neck and do all these crazy things with the body. And then she ended up with splitting. Bam! And she would get tips for this idea of splitting. But not being trained, she didn't realize that you've got to do certain things to warm your body up. When she did the split, she tore all her ligaments in the leg.
Oh, my.
Doctor says, no more dancing, no more dancing. And then she said that she got pregnant, and she said every day she would dance with me in the womb. She would dance and sing about her baby because she wanted a dancer.
Sure.
The doctors told her I came out dancing.
tap dancing, jazz,
no,
ballet?
No, just dancing. Well, that comes when I was three. But, you know, in the olden days, people worked all week, and then on the weekend, they would have a little party. They would just dance, play cards, eat. And my mother said that they were doing this at one time, dancing and playing cards and eating. And I got out of the crib, out of my bed, and came in there, and I was just dancing. And the people looked at me, and they started throwing money.
Well, that's good.
I started picking up pennies. I ain't honest, but I knew there was something good. So I picked up these pennies, and I put them in this big, fat piggy bank. And when it got filled, I busted open and bought myself a little train set, a little winding train.
Sure.
But that was my idea of realizing people like to see dancing of kids. And that was my beginning.
I love it. That's a great, great story. So you arrived in Columbia 1 year before I did. We landed here in 74.
Okay.
So, and it wasn't too long after that that I remember you doing shows at Slayton House? Or
yes.
Where did you actually start in Columbia?
At Slayton House, or start, what happened when I moved to Columbia, mm-hmm. I was looking in the Columbia Fire for dance, and I looked up and I saw this woman was teaching this class, dance, Allen, dance, Allen. So I went to see Miss Allen, don't get old.
Ann Allen.
I said, Ann Allen. And she said, oh, you're John Taylor, blah, 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 blah. You having a training? So immediately she made me her assistant.
Okay.
And let me jump in here because I covered this for the Columbia Flyer in these years. And I remember I started writing actually in 1975, first review, Alvin Elliott at the Meriwether Post. But I can remember John Taylor and Anne Waugh Allen when you first did Coppelia. And he was Dr. Coppelius. You had Elizabeth Carpenter.
Sarah Lyman. And Sarah Whale. Well, okay, right.
Yeah, you got it. And Sarah Lyman was there, too. And he was really vibrant. He was, now, this is a story about a doll that folks think is really a girl, and everyone becomes jealous of the love of this doll in the window, and Dr. Coppelius is a strange character. You were very strange, very wonderful, and it was one of my first reviews, and I treasure that, John. So
yeah.
Working with Anne Allen was just an amazing fit, and she was a little crazy, though.
It was interesting because of all the people I've taken dance classes with and being associated, I call her a genius. She had a genius mind.
Oh, we all do.
And she was, we would have rehearsals, like she would say, we rehearse Saturday, make sure you'll be there at 11. And we would work in town, give you a little break. And we would work from 11 until 11. Wow. Some of the parents would get upset. They said they want their kids to come back. They said, she said she wasn't going to do it until it's finished. And after 11, the kids would go home. I was there to move the mats and move things back. And I'd get home about like 2 o'clock. But she was there rehearsing. I mean, I think a genius. I learned a lot about dancing. I learned a lot about ideas. I used to carry her kids on my back to go to Slayton House from her house, because she lived right around the corner. But I became a part of the family. She was just there all the time.
And a nod to her, because she took kids off of the street.
I know.
And a lot of kids were in trouble. And the Columbia Multimedia Theater Dance Company, as it was the thing called, with maybe even a longer title. And she really should have been recognized more over
the
years.
And I agree.
She passed away, and no one knew it.
Yeah, she was one of the first. And you mentioned Sarah Lyman. She was one of my students at Centennial, along with Denise Oaktai, Maria Cotis, Susan Barron. There were a whole bunch of them that were in Anne's company. And because of that, and because they were part of the theater department at Centennial, whole bunches of us went to see your performances and Anne's performances.
Absolutely.
So it was just a wonderful era in Columbia. I call it the golden age of performing arts in Howard County, because we had so much talent then. Not that we don't have now and that haven't gone on to fields of noble endeavor, but boy, we were loaded then.
And we were unified. There was a bigger unity amongst all the performing artists. And and John, just to also say, John did the same thing as Anne. If somebody wanted to dance or somebody needed shelter or something, guess who took them in and either gave them shelter, dance, and whatever. I mean, that, and again, those are kind of part of those golden days that you're talking about. Yep. I did African dance with you, John, and then I taught at Kaler Hall after Anne Allen, and she said to me one day, she said, I'm so glad you like the little kids, because she goes, I scare them and I make them pee. And I said, well, we all do what we have to do. But anyway, so those are the early days. So how did you get to be Kinderman? And I know there's a disco story that's going to bridge some of that gap, too.
To go back to Anne Allen, she knew people. She knew dancers. And she brought Charles Wideman here to Columbia. And I didn't know who Charles Wideman was.
Right.
And so when I learned that, she even had us up into Charles Wideman's studio. And Charles was just incredible. I mean, he's a genius, another genius. And then she also, who was my partner in the dance, who just you had me there? What's his name?
Trent?
No, Trent. No, who was just as important as Charles Wideman?
Oh, Mark Ryder.
Mark Ryder.
But she knew the information, and I asked her, how did you find that? She said she was the principal dancer with Charles Wideman, and that she knew the choreographer, everything she had done with her, and she gets transferred. Formed that whole idea, brought Charles Wideman down there. It's just incredible, the experiences that I had with her and her background about teaching overseas. But to get before we were talking
Kinderman.
About... Kinderman. Yeah. When I stopped working, I worked Wolf Trap. Wolf Trap taught me how to market myself as a dancer. I was with NAYC, the National Association for Education, and then they got me going across the country to different states, introducing ourselves. So we were in Chicago, and there were three dancers. A dancer, a singer, and an actor. And they said, well, why don't you go around and introduce yourselves? So Billy B said, I'm Billy B. I'm the singer, blah, 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 blah. Michelle Valerie said, I'm puppetry, yak, yak, yak. And when it got to me, I said, these kids are not going to remember these names. I said, I'm Kinderman. Everybody looked at me. I said, you know Batman? You know Spider-Man? You know Superman? Now you know Kinderman.
I love it.
And I said, I'm not going to use John Taylor ever again. I'm going to say Kinderman, Kinderman, and I want to see if I can ever hear it over to the ends of the United States and California. And I was in San Diego one time, got on the plane, the man said, uh-oh, Kinderman in the house. And so people said, what do you do? I said, I'm Kinderman from Kinderland, and I do something called Kinder Size to the Kinder Kids. And that's how I said Kinderman, Kinderman. I never answer to John Taylor anymore. It's Kinderman from Kinderland, teaching Kinder Size to the Kinder Kids.
I just realized something. He was an early rapper, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember at Slayton House when Mr. Rouse, Mr. and Mrs. Rouse, Patty and Jim, were taking dance lessons from the Kinderman, and he would say, move on up to Baltimore.
Come on back
to Washington. Is that what it was?
Tick-tock, yeah? Tick-tock. Tock, dancer up to New York City, come on back to Columbia, and tick tock, tick tock. Put on down to Washington, come on back to Columbia, and tick tock, tick tock. Turn her down to Washington, turn her back to Columbia, and tick tock. Both turn around. And I just choreographed something because disco was so complicated. And I said, people, they're not going to pick that up. So I said, I'm going to teach a dance that everybody can do, and something very simple. Go left, go right, go left, go right, walk up four steps, come on back four steps, go left, go right. And people started, and I got to the point they say, it was called a disco hustle. My brother said, that's not disco hustle. I said, they don't know it.
It is
but
now.
He made it usable for the masses.
Yeah.
Everybody could do it. Everybody could tick tock, tick tock. And a lot of men couldn't do it, but the women wanted to dance. So I forced. They were forcing men to come to this. And I started at Oakland Mills. That's I forgot it. The woman who was in charge, but she said, he is an experience. And so they started advertising John Kinderman. No, I was Kinderman. No, I was John Taylor. He's an experience. And I started at Slayton House. I started at Oakland Mills, and then I went to Slayton House. Mm-hmm. I was in Long Reach. And next thing I know, I was in Baltimore teaching this TikTok hustle. I was in Cross Keys taking this TikTok hustle. Oprah lived there. And so my name got so big that they had me on People Are Talking. Mm-hmm. Richard Scheer and Oprah. So Richard Scheer had taken 6 or 7 lessons. Oprah was so busy, she only could take one lesson. So she came to the Disco Palace. I taught her how to do the TikTok hustle. Then they had me on People Are Talking. And Richard Scheer and Oprah danced this TikTok hustle type of thing. And that's how I got very, very popular about Kinderman. I'll disc John Taylor. I'll lose my time sometimes. Because I did aerobics. When disco died, they said, disco's no more good. You had to dress up. You had to do that. They said, we don't want to do no disco. We want to rock. We want to. And all of a sudden, disco, bam, stopped. Mm-hmm. And that's another whole story, another chapter.
Well, but that chapter took you in to really capitalizing on the Kinderman concept, and that's how you grew it from there, too.
There was an article in the Afros, black paper, that I was working with children. And I help children forget about the negative things that are happening in Baltimore. Pete O'Neill, who was a cameraman for Channel 2, he said he would cover all kinds of homicides. He said one night he got this homicide to Middle Baltimore. He said, oh, this is my neighborhood. When he got there, they found out that it was his house. He said, that's my house. My mother's in there. Went in there. His mother was dead. A guy who came in there, robbed her of $75 worth of jewelry, shot her, And he said he was just going crazy about this idea of his mother, about the crime. And he was on the front page of the Afro because they caught the guy and found out. And on the seventh page, it was John Taylor working with kids in peace and harmony and love. He called me up. He said, listen, I see the article that I'm in and you're in. If you get me some people together, I'll try to put up together a TV show. And I said, okay, that was fine. He came over to my house. I fixed some of my favorite crab cakes. He wrote the proposal, put it to the conference, to the manager of Channel 2. They said, yeah. So I got on the phone and I called all the schools and the parents and children and watching it. Said, listen, we're going to do a TV show. Would you all be willing to bring your children to Channel 2? And we're going to do an audition. The day we did that, we had 3,000 people to a son on that Channel 2. And they auditioned, made people sign, release form, And then we narrowed it down together. There was three people came with Channel 2 management to put this TV show together. So I had called everybody I knew. And Pete had a certain way of what he wanted as opposed to what I wanted. And to go back, we needed money. And a lady from BG&E had seen me in the school, and she was sponsoring a school. And I said, how do you get money from, you know, BG&E? She said, you just put a proposal together. And we talk about it, and we give money to schools. So I told Pete about that. He went down to BG&E and said, well, we can put your name advertising the Kinder, you know what it was called, Kinder Size. No, the show was called Kinder Times.
It's Kinder Times.
I wanted to be called Kinder Man's Show. He said, no, let's make it Kinder Time. And he took the rights of it, saying that he was the one that do the promotion and this, that, and the other. So we started the show, and that went to a friend. They gave us $350,000 to put the show together. And he said, this is enough money. I'll take control of it, but we will give you money when we start making more money. And the people on the show decided that they wanted to split that $350,000. So they had controversy. That went, they left, and we had the show for 7 years. And what was interesting is when the eighth year came, I didn't know that he had said, I'm not going to do this anymore. He said, I'm tired of doing it. We're not making enough money, blah, 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 too much work. So one of the members of the show heard him and went to Channel 2 and said, Mr. said he's not going to do it another year. And she told me, and I said, well, if I try to keep it together, would you continue? They said, make me a pilot. So I put together a pilot, and they liked the pilot. So we were on another 5 more years for that. Mm. They're making a whole lot of money, but I was exposed. The Kinder Man. So it was wonderful. That experience is another chapter in my life.
And from there, then, as you had created the Kinder Man, then you started doing private shows, birthday parties, performances at the mall, performances in village centers, and rumor has it you're still doing that.
You know, it was an interesting. It was a time that I was working 365 days in a year.
Is that all?
Every day. every day, making an awful lot of money. And I said, oh, I worked every day except Christmas. And one day, the Jewish Community Center called me up and said, Kinder Man, listen, we hate to ask you, but will be willing to come to Jewish Community Center for the 5th. I said, yeah, that's on Christmas. She said, yeah, we don't want you to do Santa Claus or anything. Just a few Kinder size. So I ate with my family real fast and went up to the Jewish Community Center. Did a show and came on back. That was the year that I worked every day.
Every day. Wow.
Has there been any documentaries or any kind of, besides our wonderful radio show today, mm-hmm. that's just entirely on John Taylor, the Kinder Man, has there been any sources that we can see, look to your past and read about you or learn more?
Well, the University of Maryland is doing an archival, and they're collecting all the newspaper articles, all the stories, all my programs that I made, because I was teaching core knowledge for children. So I made all kinds of songs and all kinds of charts. Like, when you see red, put your hands on your head. When you see black, put your hands on your back. When you see blue, put your hands on your shoe. When you see brown, turn your hands all around. It's kinder time. Kinder size will make you wise only if you realize you can be what you see. Imagination is the key. Breathing in and breathing out, that's what life is all about. Air to lungs and blood to heart, that's the life of artist talk. Once upon a time, there was no me, but somebody thought that I should be. So life and love and the spirit you can't see all got together and created me. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and both of them don't get along. If you're right, you're never wrong, and doing right will make you strong. Right on, right on. So what I do is I put movement to all my songs, all my movement, colors, shapes, right, left, up, down, front, back, all around. Lean to the right, lean to the left, lean to the front, lean to the back, lean all around, lean all around. So my whole program, Kinesize. Then I wrote another program. They said, you do Kinesize, do anything else? I said, Black Hall of Fame. It's a Hall of Fame. Do you know the name? Can you tell me the pictures of the face in the frame? Start at the top, and I won't stop until you learn the name. Now, Marian Anderson really could sing. Her wonderful voice made the Liberty Bell ring. Ralph Bunche, a diplomat for peace. He's the one that settled the war. First in the Middle East. Now there's Gwendolyn Brooks. She wrote a lot of books. Matthew Henson, it looks really cold. It's just because he found the North Pole. It's the Hall of Fame. Do you know the name? And
that's wonderful. I love it.
We got to pay him.
Get loose with Mother Goose.
We have to produce him.
This is a show. Yeah,
exactly.
I love it.
We have to preserve this, preserve. Though. Really. Exactly. Well, you know what we used to say when we did shows in Baltimore? Call the police.
I don't say that no more. I said, call security. Call the FBI. Call CSI. Oh.
I think we have time for about just a little going through our group here of just one quick memory or something special. Mine is that I had the privilege of nominating John for the Howie Award, which he won. I think I've nominated you a few times, but anyway.
All the time.
But I just, in writing about it, I had mentioned that he was a three-time National Capital Region Emmy Award winner. He was nationally recognized for his innovations in education, entertainment, and inspiring imaginations of thousands of children. So I said, if John Taylor is so recognized in all around the country, why isn't he honored here in his longtime home, Columbia, Howard County? Which, of course, you did get it. Congratulations. Yep, here. That's my good memory.
Yeah, oh. Love it.
Well, I know one for sure. When we used to do shows down at Artscape, remember those days on the hot pavement? One time we did the Macarena over the entire festival, and it's always hot at Artscape. And after each show, we would have to go and change our clothes. You could wring them out. But darn, it was fun days. I love doing those shows with you at Artscape, but I miss them. You sure you don't want to dig one up and do it this summer, John?
You know, you had to be selected, but the format has changed a lot.
I know.
Because I used to do three shows a day on Saturday and Sunday. And yep. I opened up the show on Friday. I was doing that.
Right.
So after 25 years, they said, we need somebody new, you know. Mm. And not that I objected to it, but that was a hard show go here and carry your own equipment, sit up there, no electricity, sing and dance and all that. But I think, you know, I've experienced so many things. The greatest experience I had when I thought I saw Mr. Rogers, I said, Mr. Rogers, he's nice, he's great, and he's famous, but he can't dance. So Pete O'Neill put a recommendation for to win an Emmy. So he submitted it, and we all got dressed up, came in tuxedos and limousines, got there, and they said, the winner of the children's division is, and I said, oh, goodness, Kinderman, and I screamed.
This is on the Emmy, right?
The Emmy. I've got three now. But it was just amazing to me. That was, to me, one of the most exciting things. Mm. I screamed and hollered and went up there and grabbed the Emmy. And she said, he's kind of excited, isn't it? And the place blew up, you know.
And we can't let this interview go by without mentioning the Disco Palace. Do you remember the Disco Palace?
I sure do.
I remember because I was writing about dance at the time, and they invited me to the preview. It was Hollywood came to Columbia. It was really hot.
Yes.
The Disco Palace was located on the top of Dunkin' Donuts and Kaler Hall, and it was previously the New City Ballet, which was created by Patrick France, and who is the visionary art museum woman. Anyway, the two of them created it through a great grant through Mr. Rouse, but then it didn't last. And lo and behold, all the big timers came out for that event. That was fun.
Yeah, the original Disco Palace was up in Pikesville, and the man who owned Fred Astaire Studio divided and said, I'm coming out, I'm going to sell stock for Disco Palace in Pikesville. So they had this Disco Palace. He spent a lot of money over there fixing it up. And then he said, we want to come into Columbia because that was my home. And there were many articles written about Disco Palace. So I was in Disco Palace, and they were stayed, but they didn't want to have liquor license in Columbia. They didn't want dance to mix with liquor. So he couldn't get.
How can you do disco without a little buzz? There?
And disco, the kids didn't want to drink; they just want to dance. Yeah. So that they didn't let him do the palace there. They lost out, and this is very strange. When they were losing money, they decided to get money from the what do you call the people who have underground money, New York City,
the mafia.
They got $75,000 from the mafia to keep it going. And they wanted to insure my legs in case I got hurt. And they were going to insure my legs for $1 million.
Wow.
A lady called me. She said, John, don't do it. Don't sign. They kept calling me. Come sign the paper for your legs. They said they were going to kill me so they can get the insurance money.
Oh. Wow. You heard it first here. Razzle Dazzle. A little bit of a downer to kind of wrap up this show. How about a funny memory, Judy?
A funny memory. Let's see. I don't know. I have so many. Oakland Mills Village Center, when you taught dance over there. I mean, when you taught disco over there. Those classes, I don't know how funny this is, but those classes were packed. You could not get into them when he taught those. I mean, they were really packed. And I do remember that one of his partners did lose their top. Is that funny enough? She will remain nameless.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I want to say is that I was going to a lot of funerals sometimes because kids are older. And I said, I wonder, everybody's talking about the dead. I said, I'm going to have a wake. Kinderman wake, disco wake. No, what you call wake. I want you to do one of three things. Come there and bring food for 10 people, or come there and perform for 5 or 10 minutes, or come there and pay $5 to just rent Slayton House. So I rented Slayton House, and they told me, they said, how many people you expected? I said, maybe 250. It got to be 380. They said, we hope that people don't come here and close us up because we're over the capacity. I didn't realize that 300 and some people came to my wake. So I had bought this shawl and people performed and they sang and they bought food. And then they said, now let's view the body of the Kinder Man. And they opened the curtain. I was like this. And I taught them all the disco hustle, and they did the dance. We were supposed to get out there. We started at 8. We were supposed to leave at 12. We didn't get out there until 3. 300 people doing my disco wake. So I'm having another one this year. I'm having it. I was going to have it at CBS, but I'm having it down in Laurel. I said, bring food for 10 people or buy my new book. I got a book called Bobaway Away Time, or you can come in there and dance. So I'm starting at 5:30, and we're going to end at about 9:30. So you can perform or bring food there or buy my book or CD.
I want to be John Taylor when I grow up.
Exactly.
Well, we told you to expect some real razzle-dazzle, and you heard it here the first time ever. We have talked about the epic John Taylor Kinderman. Thank you so much for sharing all your memories. We could fill like at least 10 more shows, I know. But thank you. Rock on, live on, John Taylor.
My pleasure. Thank you all, and I hope to see you again sometime. Kinder size will make you wise.